Robert De Niro, a very low IQ individual, has received two, he spelled two wrong, many shots to the head by real boxers in movies. I watched him last night, truly believe he may be punch drunk, and then he says, at the end, he says, wake up, punchy, he says to you.
Yeah, he's so f***ing stupid.
Look at the lame, inane things that he said. He's so stupid, he can't even say anything clever or smooth. He's a f***ing moron. But he's a scary one. And in all seriousness, and we know it here, people have to get out and vote and vote and vote and vote.
Big group of people in this country who believe that he cares about them.
I am totally dumbfounded, baffled by that. It's so obvious. I just don't understand. People could buy it. I just don't know. It's all an act in a certain way. It's all out of insecurity. He's deeply, deeply insecure. He is a malignant narcissist. He's a socio-psychopath. It's so frightening and scary, and he's dangerous. We got to get rid of him. He's an outright f-ing criminal.
Interesting times, I say. Interesting times, Trump Mafia listeners. Are you still out there? I know I've been gone, but guess what? I'm back. And I can't make any promises, but I think it's time to really keep us updated with what the Don is doing. For this episode, I was talking with my producer, Arizona Rick, and here he is sending me text messages demanding I have to go on air. Demanding, imagine that. So here we are. And usually I would venture to go online for the last 2 weeks and really try and absorb what the Donald has been doing so I can give you my well-examined, studied, and thoughtful take on what the fuck is going on inside Trump Mafia land. But I can't do it. I won't do it. I will only ingest this demonic soul through news osmosis, which will lead me down a road of giving you my overall philosophical ramblings on how I'm thinking about the presidential race unfolding or the day-to-day Trump rodeo fuck circus. But the exercise I want to do with you today is pose a few questions, a few thoughts, get your feedback. So first up is this. When I first started Trump Mafia, I wanted to trace if he would be indicted and go to jail. Well, the indictment has happened so many fucking times. I feel like I'm looking at post times at Belmont Raceway. How many cases does he have now? If the presidency doesn't work, I say Don goes into consulting criminal defendants and criminal defense attorneys on how to get out of every fucking indictment and still be loved by your neighbor. The guy's turning into the Teflon Don times 10. I mean, John Gotti beat the government a handful of times, but even Vinny Chin and the fellas wanted to kill him. Now, Trump, on the other hand, is growing in popularity. Well, God bless him at this point.
81% of Trump's hardcore base believes the lies. That number is up from actually on January. 81% of Trump's strong supporters believe that Biden won the 2020 election because of fraud. 51% of Republicans, 58% of his most fervent supporters believe the lies. And those lies went before 61 judges, a lot of them, some of them Trump appointees. He lost 60 cases. I mean, the laws, the lies were adjudicated by Bill Barr first, who couldn't find any. I mean, you know, the facts are so plain. It was said on this show by Maria Ressa, who is a Nobel Peace Prize winner. I'll show you what she said about the addictive nature of disinformation.
Remember, Yuri Andropov, who's a former KGB chairman, former head of the USSR, right? He said, and this is the role of disinformation, he said, disinformatsiya is like cocaine. You take it once or twice, you're okay. But if you take it all the time, you're a changed man. How do we deal with this? Understand that you're being manipulated, that you do not have agency, and it isn't the just foreign influence operations or even your own political power plays that are happening. It is also the tech that is connecting you.
When she puts it that way, the forces on the side of disinformation are as powerful and addictive as cocaine, right, in her telling.
Right. And Donald Trump has forced this obsession on the Republican Party. And I don't know how many people actually believe the lies. But at some point, there's not much difference between pretending to believe something and then actually believing it.
Now, number two, while Biden, I think, is looking jocular in his national TV ads for the presidency, I almost can't pay attention to the campaigns. So it does feel like on an overall level, when you go and you're talking about this stuff with people, you kind of come off like Jack Nicholson and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, wherein at this point, I'm seeing it's a form of acceptance of the Don stepping up and being the president. At this point, war in Israel, maybe war in Iran, I don't know, Ukraine, parts of Africa, Haiti. The global landscape looks like a bad Philip K. Dick novel with no end in sight.
We're also on the scene at this hour in New York City, where these words are raising serious concerns about just what happens next. 72 hours until all hell breaks loose. Those words posted by former President Donald Trump, as we are now just 3 days away from the beginning of his hush money trial in New York City. Money is allegedly paid to a porn star to avoid an incident that could have derailed the 2016 presidential campaign. Trump will become the first former U.S. president to stand trial.
These cases are all rigged. It sounds fair, doesn't it, to be gagged, but it's not. It virtually never happens. It only happens to me because I'm able to tell people what's happening, and those people get extremely angry with what's happening.
Number three, if anyone is still out there and still listening, I need some people to explain a few things. The Arizona Supreme Court banned abortion based on a law from the 1800s. I almost recently thought maybe I was smoking flaca or that was an AI article. And now I see that the Biden campaign will actually campaign on fighting this or leaning into this, as they say. I don't know what to say about all of this, as again, when I read something like the above, how do you not contemplate just moving to Helsinki and just trying to figure it out? Maybe drive a car. I don't know. Teach English.
Trump is all over the map on abortion policy historically. His latest comments, though, sort of casting the responsibility of designing abortion legislation to the states. Walk us through those comments.
We know on Monday he said that the decision on reproductive rights should belong to the states, but then today he was criticizing a decision made by the states.
We have so many tapes of President Trump taking credit for the Dobbs decision, and now because he sees that it is not actually helpful for Republicans,
he doesn't really have a choice when you look at the realities. He has to talk out of both sides, and on one he's saying, yeah, I'm very proud of what I did putting those justices in place and that they overturned Roe, but then he was asked about whether they went too far, the Arizona Supreme Court. Yeah, they did, and that'll be straightened out. And he goes on to say, I'm sure the governor and everyone else are going to bring it back into reason, and that will be taken care of. He's relying on Democrats to clean up his mess. I don't know that they're hopping in line to do that.
Well, certainly not the Arizona governor is not going to do something to help out Donald Trump.
I was having a conversation earlier with Arizona Rick, the producer of Trump Mafia, and today on the phone, he pitched me that Trump somehow might be in the fifth dimension, and that he maybe understands what Joe Dispenza teaches with quantum travel and quantum physics. And I took it in, and he sort of said, well, maybe, you know, Trump is so present, he's such a believer in positive affirmation, he's somehow a celestial traveler. And that is why it doesn't make sense to anyone, minus the very sophisticated political handlers that are managing Trump's campaign, legal debacles, and now his flawless, insane media proclamations as he sells Trump branded Bibles.
Fifth dimensional creation has nothing to do with going anywhere to get anything. Because if you combine a clear intention, a coherent thought, coherent brainwave pattern, with a coherent heart, moving into that elevated emotion, thoughts are electric and feelings are magnetic. The magnetism of this center becomes the energy. The intention is carried on that energy. And now you are broadcasting a new signature into the quantum field. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's done properly and you understand the mechanics, in fifth dimensional creation, you are not going anywhere to get anything. You are actually collapsing space and time, and you are drawing the experience to you. You are the vortex, because when there's a vibrational match between your energy and that potential that exists in the quantum field, like tuning a radio dial, when you lock into that frequency, if you keep revisiting that energetic signature over again every single day, then you don't have to go anywhere and get it. The new job finds you. The new house actually finds you. The new relationship finds you, because you are the vortex that's drawing the experience to you.
He also went public. And I'm confused. The SEC allowed that? There's not some federal law enforcement entity doing anything? I gotta give him credit, though. I mean, Trump at this point, he's taken his own insanity so far that I can imagine these prosecutors are looking at Jack Smith flounder in legal motions, and they say to themselves, you know what? It's just not fucking worth it. I don't want to be on Fox News or on the cover of the New York Post. They're just hoping he chokes on a fucking Whataburger and just collapses into the aisle of Trump fucking air. So again, if you were coming here today for a nuanced take on Trump's geopolitical strategy with Bibi, or his stance that Haiti is being run by a gang member named Barbecue, or you want some form of assurances that we aren't already in World War III, you came to the wrong podcast today, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm dusting off my fastball. I'm trying to get back to 100 jump shots a day and 5 minutes of gratitude meditation, but I was distracted by so many fucking things that I can't catch my breath. And oh yeah, here comes AI into the mix for the 2024 election cycle. And honestly, does anyone have a plan here? I saw a headline, I think yesterday, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was worried about a deep fake porn she was starring in. Now, part of me was excited, but I get it, it's fucked up. But is porn really what the fuck we should be worried right about now, guys?
Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is leading the charge to finally, at the government level, do something about the rapid rise of deepfakes. And it's a topic that she has talked about often in the past and seems to deeply care about, particularly because it is clear that she has often been a target of these. It was the end of February, and after spending most of the week in DC, she was looking forward to flying down to Orlando to see her mom after a work event. But everything left her mind once she saw the picture, a digitally altered image of someone forcing her to put her mouth on their genitals. Adrenaline coursed through her, and her first thought was, quote, I need to get this off my screen. She closed out of it, shaken. Quote, there's a shock to seeing images of yourself that someone could think are real. As this becomes easier for regular people to generate, as the technology gets more pervasive, as you can literally, like, there are bot farms, bot AI generating these things without even having a broken, sick troll leading the charge.
Let's sit down, come to some kind of consensus here, and try and figure out how the inmates in Washington, D.C. are now running the proverbial asylum. This past week, I had the once-in-a-lifetime experience of attending the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia, where tradition is everything. As much as the world changes, the traditions at the Masters stay the same. Manual scoreboards. You can get something called a pimento and cheese sandwich for $1.50. Beers are $6. And guess what? I was not reachable for the whole day. No phone. It was just the grass, the wind, the golf, some friends. What I came to realize is, man, we're on a spiral. And again, I want to be optimistic as it relates to just life in general. Right? I'm an optimistic guy. But as far as politics here in the heartland and abroad, politics is wavering into a world where I can't pay attention. Paying attention to the Don is an exercise that will diminish your mental and physical health. But we can't waver here from our mission, and that is to feed you some common sense takes and analysis, which I promise in future episodes, they're gonna get better. And Rick, Arizona Rick, Joe Dispenza called. He wants to discuss with you the quantum field as it relates to Steve Bannon. Give him a buzz, buddy. Give him a buzz.
The NYPD, the Secret Service, a small army of lawyers, and the more than 500 New Yorkers who were told to report to jury duty on Monday are set to play a part in history, the first ever criminal trial of an ex-American president. Donald Trump, for the next 6 to 8 weeks, will be thrust into a role he has spent his entire life trying to avoid, that of a criminal defendant on trial, potentially inching closer and closer and closer to the one thing he fears most, according to his friend Chris Christie.
No matter what he says, no matter how he's bragging and going on and on about him not being afraid, he goes to bed every night thinking about the sound of that jail cell door closing behind him.